Good morning once again.
Good morning.
We shall be taking our Bible reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 13. It reads, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen."
Amen.
The Lord bless the reading in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It is certainly a blessing and privilege to be here with you on this marvelous day. Thanking God for traveling messages that took myself and Sister Aaron and Sister Devine to Italy and back. I bring you greetings from the Verona Church of Christ, where Brother Thomas Ofori was the common minister there. He had a wonderful time in Italy last week and met quite a number of great people, great lessons, great fellowship. Trust and pray that next year, Lord willing, that more of us will be able to go. I was impressed by many things in my journey, but most of all, to see the number of young people that came, some drew from here in England to Italy during their break to be there, and it was great to see them fellowshipping with one another, and also the singing. They say the song, "Our God, He is Alive in Italian." And I cannot help but be impressed by the enthusiasm, the desire to serve God by His people. And there is much work to be done. So please keep that congregation working Italy in your prayers. And may God grant us great peace and trusting just that. I'm before you this morning to preach. Brother Paul is unwell and he's asked me to fill in for you. And it is my privilege to be with you. I say welcome to our visitor who has come this morning to be with us and trust and pray something will be said to encourage her and each of us to live in our way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." I'll turn with you in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and meet me in verse number 13. For those of you who are in the adult Bible class, you know that we have been studying the Gospel of Matthew. And so this morning, I want to lift our sermon, our message this morning from verse number 13. Where Jesus, this is the part of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours, O God, is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." And the Bible says, Amen. This morning's message is entitled, "Dealing with Temptation." Dealing with temptation. And I want to, in the time where it's allotted with us, to touch on 4 points. 4 points. Number one, the source of temptation. The source of temptation. Number two, three universal truths about temptation. Three universal truths about temptation. Number three, the parts of this petition that Jesus identifies. And number four, the results of this petition. The source of temptation, three universal truths about temptation, the parts of this petition of prayer, and the results of this petition. The Bible begins, Jesus says, "And do not lead us into temptation." Could you and I ever believe that God would lead us into temptation? Perhaps you'll ask yourself this question, what does this verse mean? Is that what this verse means? Do you ever wonder why we are tempted? And sometimes temptation comes in many forms. Temptation comes in many forms in our lives. And perhaps you've asked the question, and when will these temptations ever end? Or can we ever be delivered from temptation altogether? If you're like me, perhaps you've prayed and prayed, "Lord, take this burden, take this struggle, take this cross, take this thing away from me. So what did Jesus have in mind when he asked this question? Well, if you're like me, I believe that this message is for you. And so the purpose of prayer in general, Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, teaches us is prayer is to glorify God's name and ask for help to accomplish his will here on earth. Prayer is not for our benefit to enrich ourselves solely. Prayer is to accomplish God's will here on earth through us. This prayer begins with God's interest, not ours. You notice in verse number 9, in this manner, therefore, Jesus says, pray, our Father in heaven. It begins with God's name, discusses or focuses on God's kingdom, and ends with God's will. And this prayer is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, but the disciples' prayer would be a more accurate title. The real Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17, but that's another sermon. He gave this prayer to us to keep us from vain repetition. He did not say, pray in these words. He said, pray after this manner in verse number 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. And so we use this prayer as a pattern, but not as a substitute. Use this prayer as a pattern, but not as a substitute. In this word, tempt is a verb. Lead us not into temptation. The word tempt means to try. It normally means to test or to prove, which is the word for testing or proving the quality of a metal, the genuineness or otherwise of a coin. And testing takes place through fire. Through fire. There's going to be some fire, church. You and I are going to have some uncomfortable moments. Temptation. In the Greek, the word trial or temptation are the same word. James says in James chapter 1 and verse number 2, my brethren, you remember, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now you're going to fall into some trials, but the purpose of the trial is to test our faith. And let us notice a few verses in the Bible that tell us about trials, temptations, and tests. Remember in the Old Testament, the Queen of Sheba. Remember the Queen of Sheba, the Bible says she came to inquire about this King Solomon who asked for wisdom. The Bible says in 1 Kings 10:1, now the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And the Bible says she came to test him with hard questions. You ever know some folks ask a lot of questions? Testing time. And also, Job chapter 23 informs us that Job, the Bible says, well, he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Are you going through a test right now? Anyone else in here like tests? You go to school, it's always tests. A test for the test and a test after the test. But the interesting thing about tests is you cannot graduate until you pass the test. Perhaps you ask yourself, why am I going through the same thing over and over and over? Perhaps you need to ask yourself this question. Maybe you haven't passed the test yet. Before God can promote you, you've got to pass the test. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, speaking to Christians, Peter says this, in this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. You don't have to go through the test. How genuine is your faith? Your faith must be tested and through fire, James says, how Peter says, may be found praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the undoubted and undisputed teaching of life is that life is inconceivable without temptation. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2 to the church in Ephesus, the Spirit writes, I know your works, your labor and your patience, that you cannot bear with those who are evil, and you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them right. We must put folk to the test. Everything you go through is for a reason. You may not understand it. You remember that song, Tempted and Tried? We're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living in darkness, living so wicked, year after year. And then the soul says, Father Lord, we'll know all about it. Father Lord, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. When all by and by. Testing. But in the Bible, the word trial is often used to describe God testing a man to see whether their faith is genuine, loyal, and true. God has to test you. Did you know that? He's got to test you. You see that chair that you're sitting in right now? Somebody had to test that chair. Why did they test the chair? To make sure that it would support your weight when you sat down. Somebody had to test it. You and I need to be tested. It was therefore forbidden in the Old Testament to listen to a false prophet or a dream of dreams when such a man emerged. In Deuteronomy 13, verse 3, the Bible says, the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Do you remember God tested Abraham when he asked him to offer his only son Isaac on the altar? What was he doing? He was trying to test Abraham's faith. God needs to test us too. And James got him holding hand. He says in James, says, my brethren, come all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. Not that you will be sinless, but that you might be complete. Something is lacking. God needs to draw that out so that he can perfect you or complete you. And complete, lacking nothing. And then verse number 5, here's what you need to do. Verse 5, in the book of James, he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, what do you need to do? Let him ask of God, who gives all liberally to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, God will give you more than you ask for, and he will not charge you. He will not condemn you for coming back to him in this one. He gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Verse number 6 says, but let him ask how in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For he, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. But what about these temptations? That's a message, temptation. What about these temptations? Where do they come from? In the New Testament, Paul to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. You know this verse. I want to tell you something, church. I went all the way to Italy last week, and do you know Satan came to? Satan came, and he was all up in that church building. You know how I knew Satan was there? Because he woke that sleep devil up in that church building. That sleep devil came, and Satan must have stirred away in my luggage. But I hope I left him over there. Amen. Because something we need to say today to save your soul. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. In other words, all of us have temptation. What he says, look at the next three words, but God is faithful. In other words, you can trust God, who will not allow you to be tempted above or beyond what you're able to. But with the temptation, he's not going to take the temptation from you, but alongside the temptation, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to live. God may not take away the temptation, but alongside the temptation, He's going to give you a way out. But you know what our problem is? We see the way out, but we don't take the off-ramp. We don't take the exit. You remember Joseph in the Old Testament, when Potiphar's wife asked him to lay with her. And what did you do? He ran. Some of us don't run. You need to stop by Psalm 1 and 1 and keep reading, man. Amen. It talks about blessedness of man. Therefore, we must understand that God will test you, but not tempt you with situations in which, without His strength, you might fall or fail, but in which you are not meant to fall. Situations which may be your ruin, but out of which are meant to emerge spiritual strength. We are meant to emerge spiritually strengthened and enriched. Temptation may cause you and I may be tempted to lie. We may be tempted to steal. We may be tempted to tell an untruth. We may be tempted to cheat, perhaps eat too much or spend too much. All of us suffer temptation in some way, shape, or form. The devil knows your strengths and the devil knows your weaknesses, church. Let us understand that. Satan will tempt you, but God will test you. Remember that even Satan tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. You remember after his baptism, the Spirit took him into the wilderness, and what did Satan do? He tempted Jesus. But what did Jesus do? What did Jesus use? He used the Word of God. He said, it is written. It's not that we don't know church, it's that we don't look for the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 12, says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. We don't know how long this is going to be. It may be that by and by period. You may have to go through testing and temptation for a while. But notice what James says. Notice what James says. I'm trying to help somebody. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Don't blame God for the temptation. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Verse 14, here's the reality. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. All of us have desires. Every last one of us have desires. I don't care how old you are, how spiritual you are, how strong you are, how educated you are, all of us will be tempted. And we will all have desires. But then verse number 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and entices. Here's the fulfillment, verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when it is full grown, brings forth death. Here's the equation. Here's the equation. Write this down. Desire plus opportunity equals sin. Desire plus opportunity equals sin. All of us have desires. You can't escape that. But when desire meets opportunity. So, here I am. Mama bakes a nice chocolate cake, Bradley. And she puts it on the kitchen counter. She's got it all iced up, and she says, son, don't touch that cake because it's for the birthday party later on. What's going on with your mind? I've got a desire to just touch that icing. You walk by it, and you try to take over it, and it's just calling you. Huh? Come at me. And you say, no, it must be my imagination. Huh? But I can't, but I still got that desire, and Mama's in that kitchen. And as soon as Mama leaves the kitchen, opportunity shows up. Huh? Desire plus opportunity has presented itself. And when I activate it, guess what happens? The Bible says it gives birth to sin. You cannot necessarily get rid of the desire, but you got to eliminate the opportunity. So perhaps I need to stop hanging out with some folk. Perhaps I need to stop having certain conversation with folk. Perhaps I need to stop doing certain things. Perhaps I need to focus my eye and attention on something else so that I don't have the opportunity. That's what James said. Don't blame God, because guess what? We are all drawn away. When we're drawn away by our own desires, and it's us who remember the Garden of Eden. Huh? That tree was always there. God placed Adam and Eve in that garden, and when opportunity showed up, that old devil, because the devil's going to come any way you want. Any way, he's going to dress himself up in a skirt belt. But he's going to come handsome, ladies. He's going to dress himself up. Huh? Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 is so beautiful when we hear the pages turn. 2 Peter 2, verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved them, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to them to afterward who would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the friendly conduct of his tormentor." Conduct of wickedness. "For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day and seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." If God did not spare these folks, Peter says, then the Lord knows, get watch this now, how to deliver the godly out of what? Temptation. Not out of testing, out of temptation. See, God was faithful in the past, and we can trust Him in the future that He will deliver us out of temptation and reserve the unjust on the punishment for the day of judgment. In other words, God did it before, and He'll do it for you today. That's our confidence, church. That's our confidence. With the temptation, He'll make the way of escape. Three universal points or truths. Now, the second point about temptation. Three truths. First of all, temptation is universal and inescapable. Temptation is universal and inescapable. In other words, every person on the planet, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you believe God or not, whether or not you live in a hut or you live in a palace, all of us are going to have some temptation. It is part and parcel of the human condition. There is no man or woman who does not need to pray this prayer. Lead us not into temptation. There's not one of us that don't need to pray this prayer. Huh? Number two, temptation is not outside the plan and purpose of God. Temptation is not outside the plan and purpose of God. It is a part of the structure of life and living which God can use to make life what He meant it to be. If you and I did not have temptation, it would not draw us closer to God. Did you know that? Huh? That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to pray, church. He wants us to rely on Him and not on ourselves. You and I cannot manufacture our own salvation. Jesus understood when he was tempted, because the Bible says He was tempted. The Bible says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are." You cannot say, I cannot say that Jesus, nobody knows. Nobody understands. Jesus knows. Jesus understands. The Bible says He was tempted in all points as we are, the Bible says, yet without sin. Why did Jesus not sin? I said, well, He was superhuman. He was the Son of God. He had to His angels. He was God in the flesh. No, Jesus didn't sin because He chose not to sin. All sin is a choice. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, if you're taking notes. And number three, within every temptation is an element of probation. Within every temptation is an element of probation. What is probation? You want probation? You heard the probation officer? Probation simply means trial or testing period. A trial or testing period. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions in life. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions because temptation is put in front of us and we go down the wrong road. And in that choice, there's a trial that we have to go through. There's a temptation that is in front of us. And in that temptation, there's an element of probation. In other words, a test of resistance. What resistance? Make your resistance against the devil. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil. And what will happen? He shall flee. But you know what we do? We go looking for that devil. We go looking for that devil, don't we? Because I can handle it. I'm not, you know, it's not going to happen to me. I can just pray. It don't work like that, church. Add to this very fact that when we pray this petition, it is proof that we are well to aware that we cannot deal with temptation by ourselves. But that we need the power which is not in our own, which is not our own, in order to emerge triumphantly from this test. With that temptation comes a test too. But what are the parts of this position? Number three, third point. Jesus said, pray, lead us not into temptation. Into, what does into mean? In other words, do not deliver us. Don't lead us into the hands of and the power of that temptation. What we are saying that I know that temptation must come to me. That's the first thing I acknowledge. I know that temptation must come to me. For there can be no life without temptation. But when it does, Lord, when it does, come, do not abandon me in the temptation, nor do not deliver me helpless into its power. Stand by me in my hour of need. Because I made bad choices, Lord. I made some bad choices, but no, stand by me and walk with me in this temptation. Do not abandon me in this temptation. That's what we're praying. And it says, listen, don't let it overcome me. And then let me caution you, don't pray that you won't be tempted. Don't pray that you won't be tempted. That's a waste of time. Lord, just keep me. You hear from praying, Lord, keep me from all hurt, harm, and danger. Well, Jesus would have told you to pray this if that wasn't the reality of life. Lord, if it must come, do not abandon me in this temptation. But rather, that we not be brought under its power. He says, but deliver us from the evil one. You remember Job in the Old Testament, the old righteous Job. Job was not delivered because the devil did not attack him, but because no matter what befell him, he did not see him before the Lord. And by doing so, he showed himself to be a just man. That's why Job said these words. And Job said these words. Job chapter 13, verse 15, you will underline that. Job says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so I will defend my own ways before him. Though I may find myself, Job suffered. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his livestock. He had friends that begged him. And then even his health was attacked. And Job was still saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can you say that? Or are you the person that falls apart in a temptation? The deliverance lay not in the exemption from the temptation, but in the conquest of it. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, Paul, the Bible says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. That means that we're going to suffer. Anybody suffering right now? Suffering right now? You're not suffering. When you look at those folks over in Ukraine, over in Russia, in Korea, but we lost everything. In Israel, in Gaza, those folk that are 6 months in and they still haven't gotten all those hostages back. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they have failed the test. Mm-hmm. Huh? They may not know that, but you know that. You see? Because they're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Do not fear those any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. What for? That you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. But here's the comfort. Here's the comfort. But the Bible says, be faithful how long? Until death. Even if it costs you your life. Lord, I knew that this life is going to be full of temptation. I know that it's not going to be easy. I know that I've got to go through this test. But he has a promise. And he said, be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown of life. There will be no crown unless you pass the exam. All of life is a test. The question is, will you show up for it and will you pass the test? And so, the last point, this petition does three things. This petition does three things. In other words, the results of this petition. Number one, it faces the reality of dangers in the human condition. It faces the reality of the dangers in the human condition. In other words, we all face temptation. Don't, you know, sometimes we beat ourselves up because we think, I must be the only one going through this. But Paul says, no temptation has come to me. It's not new. What you're going through is not new. It may have a different name, but it's the same thing. Number two, it freely and honestly confesses the inadequacy of our own human resources and power to deal with temptation alone. It freely and honestly confesses the inadequacy of our human resources and power to deal with temptation alone. In other words, it faces the fact that we can't overcome temptation by ourselves. Number three, it takes both the danger and the weakness to the protecting power of God. It takes both the danger and the weakness to the protecting power of God. I confess, Lord, I'm inadequate, but I know that you are. Do not deliver us to the evil one, but deliver us from this evil. The only one that can help us to overcome and deliver us is God himself. And number four, always remember this about the petition. Always remember this about this prayer. It is common to man, controlled by God, and he alone provides the way of escape. And here's the point, if we seek it diligently, God will always show up. I have seen at my lowest point, when I found myself in sin over and over again, God always showed up. He will send somebody. He will send his word. You will hear a sermon, something will, you will have a conversation with someone and say, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure that was the right choice? Are you sure that lines up with the word of God? That's God showing up. But deliver us from evil. And he says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. God's kingdom is greater than Satan's kingdom. But his kingdom will only be great if you and I make every effort to enter it and to remain in it. And while we're in it, don't let Satan trap you in temptation. That's the point. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing five simple things. The first thing is you must hear the word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe that Jesus is the only one that can save you from your sins. That's John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then you must repent of your sins. Repentance simply means you change your mind with a view to change your actions. That's Luke 13:3-5. I tell you now, unless you Repent, you will all likewise perish. Number four, you must confess Jesus is Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. With the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And number five, you must be baptized into Christ. That's Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Acts 2, 36, and following Mark 16, 15, and 16. That is what will put us into Christ. And then when we are baptized into Christ, we are in His protection. And while we're in His protection, we still need to pray. We still need to pray. If you're here and you are a Christian, and perhaps you have sinned or you've fallen short, and you need prayer. James 5 and 16 says, confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man. I'll then come to just call and pray. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the Lord's invitation in either of these two ways, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.